It's so good to see each of you here this morning, a beautiful fall day. And I know that you're delighted to be in this building. It's God's house, the house He's provided for us to come and to fellowship together and to worship and praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
A scripture passage this morning is Ephesians 2, verse 8. I gave Carl the wrong chapter when we talked Wednesday night, and I apologize to her and to you, but it's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Familiar verse to many of us that has a great impact on our living for the Lord. Follow along, please, in your Bibles as I read Ephesians 2, 8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. May God add His blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of His Word. Giants are in the land. Giants are yelling threat to the ears of men. Do you hear them roar? Do you feel their taunting deep down inside? Long ago in a land far away, two armies dressed in battle array were on the opposing crest of hills. The valley below was what we might call today no man's land. To enter into battle meant certain death or enslavement. The armies of either side would give no quarter or show no mercy. They were the bitterest of enemies. On one side of the valley were the people of God, the children of Israel, led by their king Saul. And on the other side were the Philistines. The Philistines had invaded the land looking for blood. They knew it belonged to the Israelites. But they wanted the land, and there could be no peace. There could be no compromise. It was either win or die. And into the valley stepped a giant of the man. And you might think it was King Saul, king of Israel, because he was the biggest and tallest man in their army. And it should have been King Saul stepping forth out in faith, knowing that God would fight the battle for him. However, it was not King Saul. Instead, it was the Philistine giant called Goliath. This ungodly, idol-worshiping man of the world stepped forward and defied the army of Israel. And he was not just defying Saul and his soldiers. He was challenging their faith in God. He was challenging the very God of Israel. Is there anyone among you who would dare to fight? He asked. Let him step forward and you can watch him die. Now, where was Saul? Saul was hiding in his tents behind his guards, who were just afraid of Goliath as he. Well, who could blame them? Goliath was over 8 foot tall and looked like he was wearing a Toyota for armor. And he had a 4 foot by 8 foot fence post for a spear with the tip that looked like a warhead missile. And his shield bearer was the next biggest man in the Philistine army. And the shield he was carrying resembled a small boat. And as I think of that story, it got me to believing Well, thinking about the fact that every day we face giants in our life. They may appear as giants of sickness, giants of pain, giants of loneliness, giants of financial needs, and giants of doubt and fear and frustration. And just as Goliath appeared to get bigger the closer you approached him, they appear to get bigger to us the closer we approach our giants. Obviously, if we could see a problem coming, we could make plans to avoid it. It's not life. You're just cruising along, enjoying life, when suddenly square in the middle of your path of travel stands a giant. Something which seems so insurmountable. And regardless of the strength of your faith, there will likely come a time when it will waver. We can rest assured it will be tested to the limit, for that is the way the strength of your faith is determined. Can you imagine the tests that the miners in Chile faced for their faith? 69 days so far underground. I can imagine, as one of the miners said, that not only was God there with them, but the devil was there with them. And I'm sure on many days the devil was telling them, you're not going to make it out. All your belief in God, what has he done for you now? And yet they kept the faith. And praise God when they came out. You know, sometimes we try to force faith into our hearts, and yet the giant seems so big that we become spiritually challenged. And it's difficult to live in a world of giants when you are spiritually challenged. We can speak of faith, but where's the faith when the giants appear? Sometimes the problems we face seem so huge that they obscure our vision of Jesus. None of us are immune to the attacks of the enemy. Satan is just waiting, hanging around, waiting for every opportunity to confront us. Well, what does it mean to be spiritually challenged? It means we think too small. Our faith is our commitment to our Lord is too small. Our trust in God is too small. And whatever we face in life seems so much greater than the God that we serve. Being spiritually challenged has nothing to do with the size of your body, obviously. It has everything to do with the size of your heart, the size of your faith, and the size of your commitment to Jesus Christ. Well, how do Christians who are spiritually challenged see the world around them? To them, every obstacle is a giant standing in the way. Their favorite words in every conversation are cannot, will not, why, no, and I hope so. These are not words of faith and power, but words which tend to keep us thinking in a small way. You know, most of us are familiar with the Alcoholics Anonymous 12-step program. And in such a program, the member must admit every time he or she attends a meeting that they are an alcoholic. And to stay sober, they have an accountability program where each member is accountable to someone else and are not supposed to ever miss a meeting. How great would it be if everyone who calls him or herself a Christian would come to God's house, would come to the church and confess that they are Christian. How great it would be if they would go to work, go to their social obligation and confess that they are Christians. If an alcoholic misses one meeting, he or she is prone to fall off the wagon, as we say. And they are proud to come together and confess that through the support experienced in the group meetings, they are able to overcome their habit, even if only for a short time. When was the last time you heard a Christian give God the glory and confess that his or her faithfulness to God is what keeps them from falling away from Jesus? Perhaps we need to have a 12-step program for those of us who are spiritually challenged. Maybe it would help us to keep thinking positively and not negatively about life, and the giants would seem to diminish and shrink each day. I think if we did have a 12-step program, it would be as follows. Step one, I admit I have negative faithless thoughts. Such negative thoughts make me feel guilty about my life, my church, and even my God. They negate the effect of my witnessing to others. Step number two, I believe God is the best help to overcome negative thoughts. I need to involve myself in being faithful and trusting Him. I have not done a good job on my own. Step number three, I must make the decision to turn my life and will over to God. I must allow Him to lead me as I walk in obedience to His word. If I obey God, He will help me overcome the giants in my life. I shall never overcome them by continuing to live in disobedience to Him and in sin. Step number four, I must learn to look within and take full responsibility for my life and my thoughts. I have no one to blame for the condition of my life but myself. The life I am living now is a result of both my past and present choices, and they resulted in the consequences which I now face. Step five, I admit to being spiritually challenged. And I admit that being spiritually challenged produces negative thoughts which serve no useful purpose and only damage my faith and trust in God. Dwelling on the negative things in my life tends to strengthen their hold on me. I must determine to see the good in everything. Step six, I am now ready to think as God's words instructs only on those things which are good, pure, constructive. I will read or quote such words each day. Step seven, I shall submit myself to the leadership of God because I realize He desires to help me change and grow in my walk with Him. I submit to the teaching of God's word and to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Step number eight, I shall make a daily list of all the blessings God has bestowed upon me. I shall quit complaining about the things which are not the way I think they should be. Step nine, I shall carry the message of God's saving grace and of His power to set people free from being spiritually challenged every chance I get. Step number 10. I shall surround myself as often as possible with people of faith who will build me up and not tear me down. The best place to accomplish this is in God's house. Step 11. I shall read and study God's word every day. Only in the Bible can I find words of encouragement and words of eternal life. And finally, if we had a 12-step program, this would be step 12, I think. I shall pray every day, for God to reveal those things in me which are not right in his eyes, and help me overcome each one of them. Prayer truly makes a difference if I pray in spirit and in truth. Being spiritually challenged is the product of a lack of faith in God, an inability to trust God, associating with people who do not serve God, and continuing to live in disobedience to God's word. Why do we seem to have insurmountable problems? Because we don't turn them over to God. We don't have the faith in God that we should. What happened when that giant Goliath stepped forward? The army of Israel, led by the great King Saul, did not have enough faith to believe that he could be defeated. And so they shrunk from their duty, they shirked their duty, they hid from the giant, and King Saul even had guards to protect him and a young boy named David said, "I can fight the giant. God will protect me. I believe this with all my heart and with all my soul." And with a slingshot and a stone, he killed the Philistine giant. He had the faith. He was not spiritually challenged, as were the other Israelites. All of us know people who continue to make wrong choices and continue to hold on to some habitual sin. We know those people. It may be a family member. It may be a best friend or a good friend. It may be someone at work. Yet they cannot understand why they are always in need or never seem to get ahead in life. But remember this, friends, when we disobey God's word, we limit the flow of God's blessing to us. We limit the flow of God's blessing into our lives. And then we become spiritually challenged. We don't have that faith, that amount of faith necessary to turn it over to God. We think we've got to fix it. But we look at it and we think it's a giant of a problem and it cannot be fixed. But our prayer should always be, "Lord, create within me a clean heart. Renew within me a right spirit. Show me those things in my life detrimental to my spiritual thinking and my spiritual growth. And help me to repent of those things and draw closer to you." Amen. Jesus desires that his church be a church of spiritual giants, people who will trust him no matter what occurs, people who have faith which will move mountains, and people with a testimony of overcoming the negative of this world through the blood of the Lamb. So the obvious question is, are you a spiritual giant? Or are you spiritually challenged? And God wants his church, as I said, to be people who are truly spiritual giants. And it all begins with me and with you. We need to look inside our own life and our own hearts and decide if we have the faith of a spiritual giant, so that we can say, "Come on, the world. Come on, all you negative vibes, all you negative thoughts. I have God on my side. I can handle this. God will help me deal with these everyday giants in our life." And once we do that, then we should be able to help our neighbor and to tell him or her and our fellow co-worker and our friend and the stranger on the street that God is in charge of my life. And because of that, I can have peace I can have happiness. I don't have to go home each night and worry and wake up in the morning and worry. God is with me and God will handle it. And if you would like God to be on your side so that you could be a spiritual giant, if you're already a believer, just pray the prayer that I spoke about a few minutes ago. Just ask God to create within you a clean heart and to give you a right spirit. And if you have never accepted God as your Savior, but the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you and you feel that today is the day, we invite you to come and share that joyous moment with us as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 238, Breathe On.